Okay, so would you like to tell me your name and your date of birth?
My name is Chris Holm. I'm born at Bampton at Knightview, where in the council houses in them days, and I was born in 1941. Went to Bampton School from the age of five, and went along with a lot of children that came from Burnsbanks, boys and girls. I should imagine there'd be about 15 or so children that would come from Burnsbanks. They would always walk to school and walk back again, rain, hail or shine. They were all very, they always seemed to be very well behaved children, even though they'd come from a roughish area, really, which was Burnsbanks. The games we played were just very ordinary. I always seemed to get on very well with them. Nobody had anything in them days. Nobody was ever jealous of anybody because nobody had anything. We were all in the same boat, really. Mm-hmm.
When the children came to school, how did they get there? Did they always walk?
Well, they would have bicycles, a lot of them, and they would bike down, but a lot of them did walk down, like, you know. Mm-hmm. If you asked a child to walk down there today, they would think they'd been sent on a marathon. But we never seemed to spend, as children, we never seemed to spend any time up at Haweswater because I think there's two reasons. Our parents always forbid us to go up anywhere near the dam because it was such a dangerous place as they viewed it. So we more or less had our own friends down in Bampton. And they didn't seem to come down to Bampton either from Burnsbanks. And probably the other reason why we didn't go up there because there was a policeman up there, and we were always terrified of the policeman. But he, I think it was Mr. Townsend, I think it would be, in them days. And he used to, every now and again, he used to pay a visit down to Bampton, probably once a week, and always unexpected to see what we were up to down here. And honestly, just the appearance of the policeman coming down on his bicycle to see if we were behaving ourselves was enough to keep us all in line in them days, you know. And so we had great respect for the policeman, really.
Can you remember much about, I mean, did you visit up there at all? Did you ever go into anybody's houses up there?
No, we didn't really, no. Everybody seemed to keep themselves to themselves. We didn't play up there at all, really, like, you know. So we didn't have a lot of involvement with the other children up there, you know, even though we knew them and we got on with them really well, but that's as far as it went, like.
What about the older children? Where did they go to school, the ones that had outgrown?
Till I went to Bampton School till I was 14, and then the secondary school at Shap would open for the, I think, the last term of my school career, which was when I was about 14 and a half when I went to Shap, and then Shap had a secondary school then. And the Burnsbank children would go along with us, I suppose, at that particular time.
Would you go on a bus?
Oh, yes, I went on a bus, that's right. And then we went to school. Before that, we had woodwork on a Friday, which was held at Shap. And the girls had domestic science, and that was all done on a Friday. That was full day. We some fair memories of that, like.
<In what way?
laughs> the woodwork teacher was always very strict, sort of a chap, like, you know. And I can remember in one instance, It was winter time, and the roads were more or less blocked with snow, and we all went off up to Woodwork on the Friday morning. The bus got through, but the Woodwork teacher didn't turn up. Anyhow, we decided that we'd had enough, so we would set off to walk back to Bampton. Anyhow, we got back down to nearly Shap Abbey, I think, and then we decided we would go back again to school. And by that time, the Woodwork teacher had turned up. And anyway, he wasn't at all amused, so I think he lined about 10 or a dozen of us up, and he caned us all, like. So I think I still have the bruises on my hands to this day. but that was one of the lessons we had to learn the hard way, like. That's right.
Did the people coming to Burnmax, did it make the area more prosperous? Because there were quite a lot of shops in Bampton then, weren't there?
Well, they had their own shop at Burns Banks. That's right. And they had a little post office up there, and so it wouldn't really make a lot of difference to the shop down here, like, which was there was a shop where Dawes House, where Mrs. Roberts would live. That was a shop. Mr. Reed would have that in them days, and that was where we used to go. And then there was Mrs. Newton at next to the pub at St. Patrick's Well.
But people from Burnmax wouldn't probably come down. No,
that's right. No, very, very rarely, I think. Right.
You know, where did they drink, do you know, the guys? Did they have a pub up there? Or?
Well, I'm not sure about that either. No, whether they had the... There was a big clubhouse up there, so they probably had the beer there as well. But I can't remember them... coming down here much at all, like, really. Mm-hmm. I can't.
What about the landscape around Burnbanks? I mean, were you aware of it much, you know, the sort of woodland and things? Did things change a lot with the advent of the town?
No, I didn't. I never seen a great change in it, really. I suppose, like any woodland, it just change comes gradually with woodland areas, but... No, I never seen a great change in it. I didn't, honestly. Mm-hmm.
But, what about your parents? Did they have much to do with the people?
Yeah, well, Dad being Harry Holm, he would run a bus service from Haweswater to Penrith. And I think it would probably go on a Tuesday and a Saturday, and anybody that wanted to go to any dances on a Saturday night, Dad would go up there and put on his bus, like, you know. And I can remember one old lady once telling me, we used to go all over the spot with your dad to dances, they used to say, but first time he got his bus, brand new bus, we had to get out at bottom at Crears and push it up the Crears. So engines weren't quite as powerful as what they were, as what they are today. That's right. So Dad had a lot of memories of being up there, and obviously he did work up there, and Grandad worked up there a bit.
What did he do?
Grandad, he was on contract work for the Old Manchester Corporation with his horse and cart. And he got the job of carting the material up to the siding blocks that were for the line of the tunnel that goes from the draft tower through to Long Sledale. If you look up on top of Lad Crag, which is just the back of Maisond, there's a big cairn there, and that is a siding block for the line of the tunnel. And the next one is Sledle Pike or something, right above Moorsdale Cottage. There's one on the top of there. Now that is the exact line of the tunnel that goes through. And he got the job of carting all the cement and materials required to build these cairns up there. And I know that he used to tell me that his old horses weren't strong enough, so he had to buy a big strong stallion horse to get the stuff up there, like, you know. And so he had some fond memories of carting stuff up there. I just did one trip a day,
right.
and that was enough for the horse, obviously. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
But if you'd need a horse, because that would be the only.
Yeah, there wasn't any fancy tracked vehicles in them days, like, you know. No. There wasn't. No.
No.
Nowadays they would have it up there in a helicopter, wouldn't they? And
then, right. Yeah.
But
they'd blast it down.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Ah, they would. Ah, and then he would spend a lot of time up there with his horse and cart, you know, doing little jobs as well, like, you know. So it was a good source of income for him.
I was going to say, so it was a big employment for him.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ah, yeah.
And do you think it was a big employment for a lot of people in this area, as well as the people that came into Birmingham?
Well, I don't know, really. I think most of the spin-offs would be for the people in Burnsbanks, like, really, you know, I'm sure it would be. And for the people that probably Dad with his bus would make a living out of it, you know, it'd be one way of making part of his living would be using his bus to cart them off to Penrith, you know, when they wanted to go. I don't think the shops would benefit a lot by it, you know. It was all sort of done within that small area up there at Burnsbanks, like. Yeah.
What about when you got older? I mean, how did you perceive Burnsbanks then? Because presumably it was empty.
That's right, yeah. Well, people seemed to, after the dam was built, there was a lot of people stayed on at Burnsbanks, but there never seemed to be that community thing after that, you know. The people would drift in and drift out again, you know, the thought they'd come to a place where the peace and tranquility sort of thing. But you found after a year or two that they couldn't settle and they seemed to move on, like, you know. You got a lot of that. Just the odd ones stayed some people stayed and they lived and died here, like, you know. But most people seem to drift in and drift out. And then the buildings, as people did sort of drift out and some died, the buildings just fell into disrepair. They give over doing anything with them, you know. It became an absolute eyesore, you know, really. But still, it's been a good home for a lot of people, you know. A lot of children being brought up there, and I suppose a lot of people would have happy memories of it, like, they really would.
Mm-hmm. Because you worked for United Utilities,
yes,
I mean, they're North West Water then, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they owned all of that, did they? I mean, was that?
Well, the properties all belonged to them, and in fact, I think the land would belong to Lowther. That they were built on, really, but all the properties belonged to them, and they did have several attempts to get planning permission to convert them for local people, you know, but they got turned down a few times, and then the need for local housing was apparent, like, you know, and they've got planning permission. And well, hopefully it'll become a vibrant community again, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know where people came from who moved in the first place, you know, when the dam was being built? You know,
well, a lot of people, I suppose it would be in the main time, would be in the 30s when when work was really, you know, short, like, and the depression would be on. And they come from areas like out West Cumberland. Quite a few people would come from West Cumberland. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, people were coming from over the northeast, over this way. And if they didn't come to Hawswater, they would come to the granite works, like, you know,
right,
to work.
Okay.
Just to find work of some description, like, you know, any description. Mm-hmm. They were so desperate in them days for work, like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you said your grandfather helped to build the tunnel.
the cairns for the to mark where the tunnel would be good. The engineers would use the theodolites on them, you know, and line them up and line the tunnel up with them as well, like, you know. That way they could keep straight and come out where they're supposed to come out.
Yes. So where did he get his materials from?
They would all be delivered on site. They would more than likely come to Shap on the site and come into the sidings of Shap Granite Works, you know, by rail.
By the railway.
That's right, I should imagine so. A lot of stuff did come in there, like, and then come along the concrete roads, which was purpose-built for the job, like, you know. Oh,
yes.
They were originally going to build a railway from Shap to Horswater to when they built the dam.
Okay.
Yeah, but they settled for a siding at Shap and the road through to Horswater after that, like, yeah. It'd been a mammoth task getting a railway across there, wouldn't it? It really would, yeah.
So was it that road that now is in disuse, really, isn't it? Was it really well used in those days?
Yes,
the dam was being built, I suppose.
That's right. It would be one of the main routes in. Well, it was the main route in, and just as well they did build it, because you could imagine what sort of a mess these roads would have been. Even in them days, there would be quite a lot of heavy stuff would come in, you know.
Mm.
Although they did, had quarries of their own, where they quarried a lot of the stone and crushers and everything else.
Where was the stone quarry?
What do they call it? Waller Crag, just below Waller Crag, on the there's a big quarry there. Just but it when the water's up, you can't see it. But when there's low level, you can see where the quarry is then. But that was where the...
Actually, as part of the...
Yeah, in the reservoir, that's right, yeah, that's right. And that was all used for... It would be crushed on site and used as the bigger aggregate for the for building the dam, you know. And then the walls up the sides, I think... there was big crushers on the sides of the road and everything else when they built the new road, like, you know, which there wasn't a road up the left hand side of the lake before it started. And Jack Hutchison, Ada, people have heard of Ada Preston, her dad would be in charge of all that lot. He was the foreman on that stretch up there, and I mean, it is built absolutely perfect, is that wall all the way up there. It's absolutely marvellous, really is. It's a marvellous piece of engineering on its own, like, without the dam. Yeah, that's right.
Where did they bring the buildings for Burnbanks? Did they build them on site, the houses, or...?
They would come in all in sections, in a big, like about a metre square, cast iron sections, and they would be bolted together on site. I think there was two firms did it, but I can't remember too much about that. Like, well, I can't remember anything about it. It's just what I've been told about. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But I think so. Other people have told me, but I think there was probably about 60 odd houses altogether. Like, you know, and housing all sorts of people. Like, you know, even I think there was people there for inspectors that inspected their houses once I think they went around them once a month to inspect everybody's house to see if they were keeping them in good order, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's right, so I've been told.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's interesting, because it's amazing that you could actually produce a village. I mean, you just produced...
Yeah, that's right,
you know, whereas you think everywhere else builds up over time, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does, that's right.
That was just a sort of instant... Almost.
Yeah, it would be built, more or less overnight, sort of thing.
Yeah,
that's right, absolutely.
Yeah.
What
about having more children in school? Because presumably it swelled the school community.
That's right, well, I think the wooden part of the school would be built by the Old Manchester Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% certain on that, but I think it was to house the children that had come from Burnsbanks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be built before anything was done, I should imagine.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, that was the typical age group was the young men and that worked up there, and they were bound to have children, so they would foresee that, wouldn't they?
Yes.
That's right.
And presumably it made a difference to having more football teams.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah, the football teams were very vibrant in them days, like they really were.
With the youngsters as well?
Yes, yeah. We played a lot of football at school, like, yeah, we certainly did. We were up there with the best of them, like, sort of thing, really. Yeah, we were. But Burnsbanks had a really good football team with the young men that worked up there, like, you know. Forced to be reckoned with, I think.
Yeah, did you have one in Bampton as well?
No, I didn't. No. Nobody likely organised it, you see, so that's right. That's right.
So you wouldn't remember things like the dances and things? I mean, did your parents talk about
them? Parents talked about them, and only thing I can remember about them was somebody would come and babysit for us while Mum and Dad went off to dances, like,
so
you know.
So did you go, your parents?
Yes, they went up there. Yeah, they did, yeah. And they always enjoyed it, like, really.
So did they have friends up there, really, or was it a group of people who went to it?
I think, well, Dad being Dad, he sort of had the buses and the lorries and one thing and another, and he knew everybody that was up there. So
did he have lorries as well as buses?
Yes, he had a couple of little lorries, yeah, he did.
So what did he use those for?
They were, he would haul out of Shap Granite Works, the aggregates, you know. And one was I can't remember what, well, I think it was a Ford, and he would have it as a, it was a wagonette, I think they call it a wagonette, and they would take the body off it, it was a bus in the evenings with a coach body on it, sort of thing, you know, and they would take that off at night and make it into a lorry for the next day, like, sort of thing, you know, so it was a thing you could convert, like, you know.
Right.
And then he had another one, I don't know who. I think Alf Mouncey would drive for him at one time, Keith's dad over here, right, I'm sure he did. I think Alf used to quite often drive the bus for him as well. I've quite a lot of old postcards that, well, not a lot, but I've got a few that the girls' friendly school at Shap, which is the coal yard now, up you turn left over the railway bridge, you know, and it's on your right hand side. That used to be the girls' friendly school, and the headmistress from there used to send a postcard to Dad and say, "Pick, we want the Shara Shap," for she used to refer it to as the Shara, and we wanted it Shap for and to be at Horswater for 10 o'clock on such and such a day, you know. And if it's raining, don't bother to come, like. That's right. So I'll show you them for them postcards sometime.
That's
right. That's right. But that was before the dam was being built, like, you know.
Yes. And you don't know about any other bits of social life up there, like plays or pantomimes or anything like that that went on?
No, dances are sort of, that's right, they do. I think there must be quite good dues, really, mustn't there? Yes. That's right.
What about religion? Where did they go? Have you any idea? I mean, what about you? Did you go to Sunday school?
Oh, we were sent off to the son of the chapel there on a Sunday, and quite often twice we used to go to the church in the morning. I think it was to give Mother a bit of peace. I think there was five of us at home, you see. So, and I'm sure it was to give Mother and Father a bit of peace while we were away at Sunday school, like, you know.
What about the children from
Burnbanks?
Did they come to Sunday school?
No, never. Just the odd one, like, but not, they didn't come down in any numbers, really. They didn't. No. But in them days, it was going very strongly. Was the chapel, like, you know? There were a lot of nice people, really. Like, the Dargs family ran the chapel, and they had a big influence on me in a very early age, really. They did. They moved from Thornthwaite Hall, where Lightburns are now, and they came to the little farm up here at Mill Crags, where Catherine and David Cook are now. And I used to always help them, just for a little bit of pocket money, like, you know. And they used to feed me and whatever. They'd treat me like one of their own, really, like, you know. And they were really nice people, and straight as, absolutely straight could be, like, you know. And they had a big influence on my early days, like, they really had. Very nice people. I think the John, the lad is about my age, he lives at Smardale Hall, he farms that place over there, like, I've never seen him for years, actually, but, but still got memories of them. But they seem to be the mainstay of the chapel, like, you know, and I think old John Dagg, the old grandfather, he would be instrumental in getting the chapel built, like, you know. That's right.
You won't really remember, I mean, World War Two, because you'd only be tiny.
No, I can remember Mother hiding us under the sofa a couple of times, like, you know, that's right, when the bombers were coming over, and that's right.
The work on the dam stopped then.
It did, that's right, yeah. That's just the only thing, I've just read about that, that's all, like, you know, I didn't expect.
I mean, presumably your dad's work would have changed a bit during the war, because he wouldn't have been up there if there weren't people up there.
That's right, I don't know what he might deal with then, I'm sure he would just, I suppose he just did a bit of all sorts. Like, no, he didn't, no, Dad didn't, no, because he'd suffered from TB when he was younger, and he was never that well, like, you know, he wasn't, no. I can remember Dad, in them days, he used to think the only cure for TB was fresh air, wasn't it? And he, that's right, yeah, they did, and he didn't go to the sanatorium, he had a shed up back of the mill there. There's a little hill up there called Pocket Money Hill, they call it, I don't know how he gets that name, but and Dad had a shed there, and he lived in that shed for about 6 months. He did, an old tin shed. And that was to try and get over his TB, like, yeah. So that's how they used to treat it in them days. it is, really, that's, exactly.
We talk about after the dam was completed, how old would you have been then?
Well, I was born the same year as it was flooded in 1941. So the kids always used to, it was a new thing, like, you know, when I went to school, so pretty, from being 5 years old, like, you know, and they always used to talk, what if the dam bursts, like, you know, and things like that, and always used to start to get each other worked up a bit about it, like, you know, but as years went by, I think everybody learnt to live with it and realised it wasn't going to burst, like, you know.
So
but
there was a fear, was there?
There was, that's right, a genuine fear, among, certainly among children, like, you know, that's right, because it'll wash bumping out and you'll be floating down the river, like, you know. that's right, it was, really. Exactly. But,
and when you were working up, I mean, you worked around that area. Did,
that's right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, did you see it change much? Did you see it sort of settle down?
The big changes came when it went private, like, you know, when privatisation came in, and the North West Water, it was in them days, the first thing they did was close their own building maintenance depot down, which was the main thing at Haweswater in them days. Probably when I started in the 70s, there'd probably be about between 30 and 35 men working there, you know, mm-hmm. on the water side and on the building and maintenance side. But the first thing they did when the privatisation came, they wanted rid of all the non-core business, so they got rid of the building and maintenance people. So
would some of that maintenance have been on Burnbanks itself?
They were in the, still in the houses where people were still living. Yes, mm-hmm. aye. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they were bringing, after that, they were bringing contractors in from Blackpool and all over the place. And by the time they got here in the morning, and then they did a couple of hours' work, there was time for them going home again at night, like, so
yes,
the
maintenance
become, as it just wasn't getting done, like, you know, and it was, definitely wasn't. And people got... I think that sickened a lot of people, and they moved out, like. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, it was. It was certainly another nail in the coffin, like, you know. It was. Because the houses, They were pretty cold and damp anyhow, like, you know, at the best of times. But if anything was wrong, they were unlivable, really, like, you know. Yeah. They wouldn't allow them to live in such like places now, anyhow. Yeah.
And the houses on the main road, as it were, they were sold off, presumably, because they would all have belonged, would they?
Oh, the Staffords, as they called them. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were all sold off.
Was that when privatisation took place?
It would be, around about that time. But they were built for the staff, them houses. They were segregated with the staff and the workers, like. They were, very much so. But they were only expected to have a lifespan of 20 years. And they said they'd be useless after 20 years, but look at them, they're still there. That's right, exactly. But I had a good working career at Haweswater, like, and make no mistake, the North West Water and Manchester Corporation, and now United Utilities, they were the best employees you could ever have, like, really, you know. They really were marvellous, really good to work for, like, you know.
So was that a lot of local employment? I mean, did you feel that, or did you feel people came from a long way to work?
Well, I don't know. People seem to be mostly local people that sort of worked on United Utilities, like, you know. But the building maintenance staff, those people always used to be drifting in from various parts of maybe Lancashire, like, you know, I would say. And the thought that they could settle down here, but I think a couple of families would stay a couple of years, sort of thing, and then they moved on again, you know. To better things, and where there was a bit more going on, like.
You think they found it quite isolated?
I think they did, yeah.
Gone with.
Yeah, that's right, Maureen. They did, very much so. And even after the community had gone, there was fresh people kept coming in and living here for a while. But you would say after a while they would drift out again and disappear, like, you know. No real roots, you know. And if there isn't a community to come to, you need that community thing, you know.
Yes, that makes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, it does, it does. And even then, they used to come down to the pubs, them lads, but they never seemed to mix in properly, like, you know, for some reason, I don't know. And yet they were always made welcome, like, they really were. But you always got the feeling that as soon as something better turned up, they'd be away, like, you know, and sure enough they were, always, like, that's right, with the odd exception.
Is there anything else, do you think? Well, I mean, what do you think about burn banks now?
Well, I think it's early days, yes. I think unless they get the community spirit thing together, it'll just be a place where people will drift in and drift out, like, you know. I think it's very important the community thing's got to be there in place, like, yeah. I think your main thing is your school, your pub and your church, like, isn't it, really, you know, it does hold the village together, like, it does. And the Memorial Hall, like, it always helps people go there and the mix, and there's a bit of local chit-chat and a bit of banter sort of thing, and it all helps the community, doesn't it? I think it does, and yeah, like, very much so.
Is there anything you feel we haven't covered? Anything else that you can think of that might be of interest?
Not really, I don't think more than this. You could go on about things forever, I suppose.
Yeah, that's
very interesting. Well, that's right. We used to patrol. One of my first jobs up there, when I went up there in about 78, somewhere in there, we used to do a lot of patrolling, looking after the catchment area, you know. And we used to walk around Haweswater once a month. It had to be walked around, you know. And that was a marvellous job, it really was. Like, I mean, you got paid for it as well. Any fishermen or anything like that had to be, licences had to be checked and one thing or other. we didn't used to, you know, just used to go and have a chat with them and one thing or another, you know, and make our presence known and then carry on. And anyhow, one particular day, there was a chap out on a boat, and so our boss would go and investigate. Our two, anyway, two supervisors would go and investigate this chap on his boat. And they waited, they seen him coming off the lake, so they waited for him. And anyway, he'd been having a picnic, him and his mate had been having a picnic, they'd been shooting geese, seemingly, yeah. And they'd obviously had a few bottles with them, and they'd drank them, like, so they were half shot anyhow, like. and our supervisors went down to approach them when they were pulling the boat in off the lake, like, and what the hell do you think you're doing, like, you know? And, oh, we've just been seeing if we get a goose or two, like, you know, well, you know, no right on here, like, you know, and this, that, and the other. And the other chap got the gun out and blow your bloody head off. Yeah, so things turned nasty right away, like, they really did, yeah. Very nasty. And that was one day when I was glad I didn't approach them. But, and then he was, he threatened, he really lost it, like, this guy, and he threatened to burn the supervisor's house down, and he was going to shoot him, and he said, we'd got there by then, like, you know, and see what the problem was, like, and he was going to shoot everybody, like, anyhow, the police had to be called, and he actually was taken to Shap Court and dealt with appropriately, like, you know. Yeah. Yeah, but it was a queer thing. Somebody pulling a 12-bore shotgun on it. There, mate. Yeah, that's right. Aye. I thought he only has to pull that trigger, and that's it. The chap's head, the supervisor's head, would have gone, like, yeah. Ah, yeah, so that was one little incident I never forgot. That's right. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah. It was a marvellous area to work, really, like, it really was marvellous. It stretched from the top of Shopfell to the south, and Ullswater here to the north, and we used to look after the pumping stations and the dams, and all the, generally the whole of the catchment area, like, you know. Yes. That's right, but yeah, the old Manchester certainly knew what they were doing when they when they come up here after the water, like, they certainly did. And they planned it very well, like, absolutely marvellously well.
Well, thank you very much. That's really very interesting.
Well, I thought you can get a little bit of something out of it anyhow, more. There'll be other things, likely, that I haven't told you about. But if there's anything important I remember, you can...
That's right, we can come back, can't we?
Probably get them down, maybe.